ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
There is doubt, and it's real. And the guaranteed safe bet is to go home or to not go for it. And the other one is, shoot, let's see what happens.
44-year-old grandfather Philip Rivers, after making his comeback to the NFL as a quarterback. He's talking about what he hopes his high schoolers that he normally coaches can take from this story. This yarn is bonkers in the best possible way. Today, how a man 5 years retired, a newly minted grandpa, no less, went from coaching high school to strapping the cleats back on to play for the Indianapolis Colts in the NFL. I'm Patrick Stack. This is ABC Sport Daily. Phil Murphy is a reporter with ESPN. Phil, we're talking about a different Phil today, Philip Rivers. When and why did he first retire?
Well, he retired the first time because he was 39 years old, and in most sporting codes, maybe aside from golf, I mean, that seems like an appropriate time to walk away. And he had a career where he was top 10 in NFL passing yardage and had accomplished a lot. And in fact, he was a semifinalist for the Hall of Fame this year. The NFL requires a five-year gap between your final moment on an active roster and your eligibility for the Hall of Fame. And whether or not he would have been a first ballot Hall of Famer remains up for debate. We'll never know. But he was somebody who was certainly in consideration because of just how prolific he was with the Chargers. And then in his final season with the Colts, just trying to bring a veteran leadership to a team that was a quarterback in need. And then Philip Rivers sitting on his couch, coaching high school football with his 10 children. You know, he's very accomplished at home. Got a phone call from Shane Steichen, who is the head coach of the Colts, who was an offensive coordinator with Rivers in San Diego. I mean, before they were the Los Angeles Chargers, they were the San Diego Chargers. That's how far back he goes. And said, hey, we're in desperate need of a quarterback. Daniel Jones had a crack in his fibula and then an Achilles issue.
Moments ago, Daniel Jones walking off here for Indianapolis, injured.
And then Anthony Richardson, who is their young quarterback, had a freak injury where he was stretching with an elastic band and the base that he had it tied to came dislodged and broke his orbital bone in his face. So this team that had started so well and was just a quarterback away suddenly needed to find a quarterback. And they had somebody in Rivers who was coaching high school football, coaching his son's team, running the same offense that Shane Steichen has run that Rivers himself had mastered, and said, hey, if you can get the ball out of your hands, we'll do our best to protect you. Can you come in for 4 weeks and try and salvage a playoff spot for us? And he darn near did. I mean, if not for a 60-yard field goal from Jason Myers, the story might almost be worthy of Hollywood.
Myers, kick on the way, and it is good! Myers delivers!
The Seahawks had to kick 6 field goals. They made all 6, and that was the difference in an 18-16 win for Seattle over the Colts. But Philip Rivers, fresh off his couch, 44 years young, 120 pass yards, darn near pulled off one of the most remarkable feats we've ever seen from an NFL player.
Yeah, can we maybe dig a little bit deeper into what he's been doing since he retired the first time? I mean, what has Philip Rivers' life entailed post-retirement before he made this incredible comeback?
Well, mostly just pouring into his kids. I mean, he has 10 children. And obviously, just, you know, the requisite time between those. One of the oldest ones is in high school now, and Philip was coaching that team in Alabama. And listen, he was staying in, I guess, adequate shape. I mean, he is a little bit of a belly, but he hadn't completely let himself go.
It's not like I just kind of shut football down and I'm, you know, trying to pick it back up. I've been very into it since I've been gone. But yeah, no, it is a physical game and it's fast. My younger children, they're excited because they don't remember dad playing.
But yeah, that's been basically it. Focusing on his family, coaching high school ball, and just enjoying the fruits of really a terrific NFL career, must be said. Again, a fringe Hall of Famer in his own right. And that's what he's been doing. And so often in any, you know, sporting code, you know, if a team is missing somebody, you watch highlights of yesteryear and say, oh, could so-and-so still do it? Maybe he goes out there and can he contribute in any way? And this is a manifestation of that. And the answer is, I mean, maybe. I mean, Philip Rivers held his own. He wasn't himself. He wasn't the 300-yard, you know, slinging it. The ball definitely lacked a little zip, but he didn't embarrass himself.
Here comes 44-year-old Philip Rivers back on an NFL game field for the first time since January 9th of 2020.
First pass attempt for Rivers. Has some time, looking for Taylor, makes the adjustment,
and it's incomplete.
And he took a couple hits, and he seemed to do okay.
My wife always tells me I'm crazy because there's been times in the last 3 or 4 years I said, I kind of wish I could just throw one and get hit hard. And she's like, you're, that's not normal. But so I didn't mind that part.
Certainly he would have wanted to win the game, but he said he went out there, and, you know, when he got that phone call, at first there was a little bit of disbelief, but then he said, you know what? He tells all his players and his kids to be fearless and take chances and have courage and really go for it. And he said, who would I be if I advocate for that and then get this tangible opportunity to do it myself and turn it down?
But to me, it's like, hey, you get to play football potentially for 4 more weeks and maybe then some. And as long as I can live with the results, both good or bad, and go back home and move on, then I was willing to go for it.
So he did it, and man, it was really impressive to see him go and operate the offense. And yeah, he won with his mind more than his body, but I mean, it shows that, yeah, he's still had a little bit left in the tank.
And it was a pretty insane challenge, wasn't it? Like, he wasn't going up against an easy beat team. The Seattle Seahawks are, you know, right in the mix for deep postseason contention. What did we see from him on the field in terms of an execution standpoint?
Yeah, that's the crazy thing about it, is that he gets thrown straight to the fire, and you hit it on the head. I mean, you could make a cogent argument. The Seahawks are the best defense in the NFL. And even next week, it's the 49ers on Monday Night Football, and then it's the Houston Texans after that. So there really are no easy assignments. I mean, these are elite defenses and elite defensive schemes he's going up against. But the name of the game was get the ball out of hands quickly, win pre-snap, be efficient before the snap, move guys around, read the defense's mail, have an idea of what's coming, and then try and capitalize on it.
Rivers, and he's got a man! Touchdown! That's Josh Downs! And that's Philip Rivers with a touchdown pass! The 422nd touchdown pass of his career.
And yeah, he had two throws over 20 yards downfield. One was incomplete, the other was intercepted. And that, the latter was in a desperation moment at the end of the game. But largely it was quick passes at the line of scrimmage, accurate passes, passes into small windows, hitting guys in the hand. And his receivers, to their credit, did their part. They got open. They caught the ball in traffic. Tyler Warren, Josh Downs, they were guys who stepped up when they were called upon. And Rivers, again, 120 yards isn't something that in a vacuum would stand out in a fringe Hall of Fame career that I would err on the side of saying is a Hall of Fame career. But given the circumstances, I mean, it's one of his more memorable performances.
Is it an indictment at all on the current quarterback talent pool that a guy 5 years removed from the game, as good as he is seen as a better option than the sort of next tier of quality in the midst?
Yeah, I mean, I understand the question, and I think it's a fair thing to assess. But you have to remember, like, nobody's advocating for Rivers to be the quarterback in a 2026 season. This is, you know, when you talk about young quarterbacks and their development, it is a gradual climb to a cruising altitude. It is a complex position to play. And Rivers, if you look at just kind of the pendulum, it's all the way on the side of experience. And just, again, him winning with his mind and knowing where everybody's going to be pre-snap. This is a guy who was drafted in 2004 and played the lion's share of every season until 2020. That's 17 seasons of professional football in mostly pass-heavy offenses. Even when they had a great running back in LaDainian Tomlinson, they were deploying him out of the backfield a fair bit. So given the fact that this is a very short window in which the Colts, from their standpoint, were saying, hey, if we can win 2 games, we can be a playoff team. If it were week 3 and they really needed to have durability to go the whole season, then I think it's a little bit different of a circumstance. But if you're calling guys off the street and it's a Riley Leonard or it's somebody out there, it's a difficult position to play. And you have somebody who you're just saying, hey, can you throw the ball accurately 5 yards upfield? Can you do that 20 times a game and hand off to Jonathan Taylor? It really is a unique circumstance that I understand the question, but I don't think in totality it's an indictment of the quarterback position, but there are people out there, I mean, Tom Brady among them, who have questioned how quarterbacks are developed, with just how offenses are run, that they're not as required to win the game with their minds, and it does limit their ceiling. So, yeah, I think it's a part of a broader conversation, but I think most of those involved are saying that, yeah, this is a pretty unique circumstance in which the quarterback had just intrinsic mastery of this specific offensive scheme. It really was a perfect storm for him to get the phone call and be able to do it. I truly don't know if it's something that any other team could replicate in the moment, But that's what makes it so special.
Been very much at peace with everything about it. And I say peace with the results, but not with, well, I'm okay with us losing. I'm certainly not. But I mean, I'll come to grips with however this thing plays out. I'll be okay for having done it because I'm, you know, certainly that first time, you know, you get the ball and you go out there and that thing gets cranked up and you go, dang. But where am I? I felt a little bit of a dream, honestly. It's like I've stood right here before, but it was, you know, in 2018. But I hadn't been in an NFL stadium like that in the center of it, calling the play, obviously. Well noted in a long time.
And that's what made it. I mean, again, it would have been so much more special had Jason Myers missed a field goal and the Colts come away with an improbable road win. But the NFL is just an unforgiving beast. And so the Seahawks get a win for them that is very critical.
Rivers down the middle of the field and it is intercepted, deflected and picked off by Kobe Bryant. 18-16 is the final score.
The NFL is certainly an unforgiving beast, and he's going to have to take on that beast at least one more time. You know, the upside or the glass half full view, wow, what an opportunity to go again against the San Francisco 49ers. The bear case might be like, oh, geez, it was a great story to this point. Do we want to risk pushing it any further? How do you see it as we get, you know, at least one more installment of this incredible story of a granddad quarterback in the NFL?
Well, here's the thing. I mean, and no disrespect to the 49ers. They're a playoff team. I think the Seahawks are a little bit better. So I think the challenge isn't quite what it was. Again, he got a phone call maybe Monday or Tuesday of last week and rocked up Tuesday afternoon. And Phil's 44, I'm 39, a different Phil. I'm flying to Seattle as we speak, and my body's sore from a workout I had 2 days ago. I don't know what his body's going to be like. But going back home, you have the home field advantage. That is a real thing. You can do a little bit more at the line of scrimmage when you're not dealing with the decibel level of a 12th man in Seattle. So it will allow Rivers a little bit more freedom. He'll have another week with the team. I mean, you got to remember, this guy's been away from the game 5 years. He's going in the huddle, having to introduce himself to everybody he's throwing the ball to. So you get another week of that.
I'm going to quickly turn my attention to the 49ers, and we're going to scratch and fight and claw. I do know that, not because I'm here, but I do know that any team I have ever been a part of, not because of me, but I've been a part of, will fight like crazy until they tell us the season's over.
I think it's a little bit more likely that they can get a result. I don't know that they will because, again, it's still you're playing a good team and a very good defense, but the challenge was so immense in week one, and they darn near pulled it off that it wouldn't surprise me if you and I were to have this conversation in 7 days' time. We're talking about the Colts having won a game against an NFC West opponent just from home field advantage, an extra week with the team. And frankly, you know, a defense that may be top 10 as opposed to top 3 in what he saw last week.
At a minimum, he's got huge street credibility with his high school team, with his family and his son. You love to see it. Phil, thanks so much for pulling apart an incredible story for us.
Hey, my pleasure. Always great to chat to you.
Headlines. Big news from the third Ashes test in Adelaide with Steve Smith ruled out. Cricket Australia issued a release saying the batter had been struggling with nausea and dizziness. That meant Usman Khawaja returned to the side in the same week. Many of us wondered if he'd played his last ever test after initially being overlooked. Australia won the toss and chose to bat. Khawaja seemed primed for 100 batting at 4 but fell on 82.
Khawaja sweeping in the air. There's two back. And it carries. Khawaja's out. Caught in the deep. Diving forward. And tongue hangs onto it. Jax gets the breakthrough. And Usman Khawaja, a day short of his 39th birthday and 18 short of three figures, he is out.
Live coverage is always on the ABC Listen app. Make sure you search for the ABC Cricket Podcast. Cam Green's become the most expensive international player in IPL history. The Kolkata Knight Riders spending $4.17 million on the Australian, as the franchise got tangled up in a bidding war with Rajasthan and Chennai at the mini auction. Not that the all-rounder will see all of that money. The IPL has introduced a maximum fee rule for overseas players. So the most Green can actually make is just shy of $3 million. The extra cash goes to the BCCI, who say that it will go to a fund for player welfare. The reason behind the introduction of the rule is concerns international players are targeting these mini auctions because of a dearth of overseas talent, basically trying to sort of game the supply-demand dynamic. Finally, in boxing, undefeated 5-division world champ Terence Crawford has announced his retirement at 38. Crawford is fresh off a huge victory over Canelo Alvarez in September and retires with a 42-0 record. The American has not closed the door on a potential return, but says he's walking away with nothing else to prove. I'm Patrick Stack. This is ABC Sport Daily, produced by Jason Ford. Thanks to the NFL, the Indianapolis Colts, and Fox Sports for the extra audio used in this episode.
Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio, and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.